Vashti Campbell recently wrote a compelling op-ed piece in the Mon Gazette about the beauty of diversity. Vashti identifies as a queer, non-binary person of settler colonial ancestry who has an invisible disability. Vashti is a PhD candidate in the Memorial Faculty of Medicine in Community Health and Humanities. Vashti joins me live in the studio. Good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Your background is fascinating. Tell us about your personal story.
My personal story. Wow, where to begin? So I was born in Labrador and I grew up here in town. My folks divorced, so I spent a lot of my time as a teenager in Ontario. So I kind of had these two different lived experiences. And I came out when I was about 14 years old, and at the time there weren't really words like non-binary, so I didn't exactly have words for how to understand my identity even, but I always knew I didn't quite fit the mold of what a typical girl was, certainly. So coming out in Ontario felt a little bit safer than coming out here. I lived in Southern Ontario at the time. And then I went on to work in mental health, largely because I'd seen a lot of challenges that folks in my life and my friends had. Thankfully, I didn't have so many struggles, but went on to work in mental health for about 10 years. And during that time, I realized I saw a lot of things that I felt concerned about in terms of the ways that we understand culture in mental health and the ways that we understand difference in mental health. So after having been a social worker for a period of time, I thought it'd be great to do a PhD specifically looking at issues of diversity in psychiatry, and MUN has a fantastic program that allows you to use kind of sociology and anthropology and humanities to actually look at medicine.
You talk about how the world, how you see the world. Let's talk about how the world sees you. You know, whether we're talking about acceptance or understanding, some of that comes with, you know, familiarity. You already mentioned that when you were a teen, there was no such words as non-binary out there. So
yeah.
Do you think that people in this province in particular are accepting or understanding of who you are?
It's such an interesting question in Newfoundland. I've been giving a lot of thought to this because it is different than having been in Southern Ontario. I was in Toronto for the last 15 years. It's very different. Overall, I think that individual people in Newfoundland are extremely accepting. I think that's of my non-binary identity, of my queerness. I think that overall people in Newfoundland, like, we come from good hearts. You know, I think that's part of what we carry in us. I also think, though, that there are subtle ways where we find difference unsettling, and where we find things. There's a saying, you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes you're not even sure what you're missing about someone's identity. So I had a person who is a racialized person who comes from South Asia, who's very, very connected to their community in Newfoundland of, you know, Indian, Bangladeshi, other South Asian people. And it's really important to them to have that connection. And one day said to me, when I was speaking about not having a lot of queer friends in Newfoundland yet, well, why do you need them? What does it matter to have queer friends? Like, people like you, it's no big deal. And I thought, that's true. I'm glad people like me. But it would be so different if she wasn't able to have her Indian community, right? Whereas for me, it makes a big difference to be understood by other queer people. So my experience in Newfoundland has been that people are very welcoming and certainly at a basic level are very accepting, but sometimes miss the nuance of who I am, perhaps because they don't know what they don't know.
There's high rates of psychotic disorders in many marginalized groups, and it's not so long ago people would have viewed trans as a mental disorder in and of itself. How do we change that conversation?
I think changing that conversation happens at lots of different levels. So one of the changes to that conversation is a really grassroots level, and there's some great work actually happening in Newfoundland and nationally to support gender diverse kids, parents of gender diverse kids, and also trans adults. So there's definitely work that's taking place to improve visibility, increase visibility, and demonstrate that people who are living as trans actually have really positive outcomes when they're supported and when their identities are recognized and welcomed and embraced. I think the dialogue has to continue at other levels, both institutional and structural. And so when I say institutional, I mean things like within hospitals or within the education system. There has to be policies that promote inclusion and that promote acceptance at a very deep level, not acceptance like you're okay even though you're trans, but rather how do I acknowledge and respect you as a trans person? What are your pronouns? What name are you using? You know, you might present in a way that looks different than cis women. And I'm not going to get into lots of definitions here, but people who are assigned female at birth have a set of characteristics. And if you are transitioning to be female or to be recognized and acknowledged as female, there may be times in your life where you don't what we call pass easily. And so those challenges are very real in people's lives, and creating institutional policies and practices that enable people to navigate a transition and still feel welcomed and included is really essential. And then finally, structurally, we really need a set of sort of both legal policies in place at a government level, but also, and this is where we come back to diagnosis, we need organizations like the American Psychiatric Association specifically to be able to address issues around gender diversity. And one of the changes was that in the DSM-4, which is like the manual that psychiatrists use, trans folks were described as having gender identity disorder. And a recent change to that is in the DSM-5, the updated version, instead of this being a disorder, there's now something described simply as gender dysphoria. And I think we've seen a similar transition when we describe, you know, homosexuality was a mental illness up until the mid-80s. And we're still in a process of trying to see that change in society.
Social justice, social equity, and health are all inherently overlapped and intertwined. It's great to meet you, Vashti. Thanks for this.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Patty.